Welcome to the Women Who Fights podcast. We empower female fighters to take full agency over their training. Our goal is to celebrate and inspire others with the incredible action women and allies are taking to level the playing field. We talk to experts, uncover prejudice, and champion what's driving our progress.
And today we have Terry with us. Terry is a former WBC and IBO super featherweight boxing champion of the world. At 25 years old, Terry remains one of the most exciting female boxers in the UK and wants to use her profile to bring more equality to the sporting community. We would love to discuss how you're bringing about more equality, but let's first start with where you are now, Terry. Talk to us about your camp, how it's going, how are you feeling about your upcoming fight against Hardy?
It's good. It's going really quick. It's 3 weeks away now from the fight, and I feel good. I'm in a good place. I've had a good camp. Just that, like I just said earlier before we started recording, I've just been sparring this morning. And I just feel like everything's coming together, and obviously coming off the last defeat, I had a few questions that I needed to answer, and I had a lot to work on in the gym, and as well as physically and mentally. So, in general, it's been a very good camp, and I'm excited to get back out there under the lights and kind of put the wrongs right. Obviously, new fight weight, and I feel like it's a perfect comeback fight against Heather, a great icon for female combat fighters, and yeah, I'm just excited. A great opportunity.
Amazing. And you've moved up to lightweight. How does that feel training at that weight? Do you feel like your boxing style has changed at all because of that?
I'd say that I feel more fueled, a lot more stronger. Usually this point in camp, I just can't wait to make the weight, and I ain't got cravings. Just a lot stronger, and usually I'd spend a full camp stressing about my weight, and that was the biggest challenge for me, is just to make the weight. And whereas now I've got no stress, I can enjoy an extra coffee here and there, and I can just fully focus on the fight and fully focus on training, not what I'm eating.
And you mentioned in a previous interview that you were on 1,400 calories when trying to make weight during your featherweight career. This is definitely not enough for an average person, let alone to perform optimally. How did you feel having to fight after such a huge weight cut?
Fatigued. That's the main thing I could say is, even though I got great nutritionists on board and stuff, being on such low calories and then trying to get in the gym every day, train twice a day and give them your best, best you can, really. It's tough, especially these last few weeks of camp. You're just really waiting for the weigh-in. I'm on around, back up to 1,700 calories and plenty of carbs and just getting fueled up.
There are lots of athletes who feel really stressed around press conferences and stressed when they engage with the public speaking in the build-up. How do you feel about that? How do you deal with it? Are there strategies you have? And how does it impact your training, your mental training?
To be honest, growing up, I always feel like I was a shy kid, and I always struggled making conversation with people, not just strangers, but people who I knew, struggle making eye contact with teachers and stuff like that. So for me, public speaking's always been a challenge, and I can remember when I first turned over professional and I was having interviews, and I used to lose sleep for a good week just stressing about an interview. And still now, there's times when I get nervous I always say the press conference in 5 weeks is the worst one for me, but I feel like I've had to just learn how to cope and understand that it's just a conversation. Well, that's what I tell myself. And I think just chucking your son in there and just getting it done, really, it's just, that's helped me. Helped me get a lot better with my speaking. I do remember a time when I was at university and I had to stand up in front of the group. I was completely frozen. And I was just like, I can't do it. And then lecturer's looking at me like, what do you mean? I says, I can't do it. So, and then I've gone bright red, completely frozen. I sat down. So, public speaking was a major thing for me and something that I really, like, I've only just started really to get to grips with it all. And I still get nervous, sweaty palms and stuff. Like, I was down in London the other week for the Kate Taylor and Serrano press conference, and they had us up there speaking, and that were nerve-wracking. But I feel like I'm getting a lot better at just getting my words out and just letting it flow and just treating it as a conversation.
Terry, let me get this right. What makes you more stressed, the press part or the fighting, that they're having to perform?
I'd definitely say the press, yeah. Just because I feel like fighting comes natural. It's what we're doing day in, day out, and I feel like with it, for me, I always panic that I'm going to say something wrong or use the wrong words and just stuff like that. But yeah, like I said, the more I do, the more comfortable I feel. You just kind of have to go outside your comfort zone to just allow yourself to deal with it. So it's sink or swim, really. That's what I'd say.
And what's your the psychological work that you do, the mindset prep for the actual fight? So if we get rid of all of the press work there, how do you get your mental attitude right before the fight?
So last camp, I was listening. Well, not just the camp, but when I broke my hand and stuff, and I was going through recovery, and I had basically a year out. I was listening to podcasts, just like a load of different ones, really, but mainly just mindset. And and then this camp, we just started working with a mind coach. We have got his first proper meeting next week. But obviously that's new to me, but I just feel like after the first meeting with him, I just know that there's going to be a lot of, there's a lot of room for improvement and just like little tricks that he was telling us that we can do that you just don't really think about, but can have a big impact, like during fight week, like things such as no distractions with your mobile phones and just stuff like that. But yeah, definitely, I feel like after the defeat, well, after the draw with Tasha, really, I really beat myself up over that and got myself in a bad headspace. And then listening to the podcast when I had going through recovery, I feel like that helped me with my last, with the defeat against Alicia and losing my world titles and stuff. I feel like I didn't take it half as bad as what I did with the draw against Natasha Jonas, and I just felt like the podcast really did help. So I'm looking forward to seeing what working with a true professional and a mind coach who's more tailored to me. And yeah, I'm excited for that.
Wow. I mean, it is. I think everyone, we all lose in life, don't we? And we win. And I guess it's part of the parcel, even though, and yet it's so difficult to be able to get over that. You said in your fight with against Alicia that you wanted to see your dad, and it was before the fight, and it was unusual. Have you had any thoughts about why this had happened?
I don't know. Do you know, like, I've always been daddy's girl. He's my number one fan, but yeah, like I said, I've never experienced wanting to, like, feeling like I needed to see him before the fight, and I don't know if that's just from, I was having the year out and it was such a big occasion, and I didn't realise how big an occasion it was until the night. But like after, obviously, when, like, the Sunday when I got home, I was down, feeling sorry for my son, kind of locked myself away in the bedroom, and I just went to my dad's house, and he's always there to give me good advice, and just it just made me realise it won't end up well. And things like this happen, setbacks happen in all walks of life, and it's just taught me how to pick myself up, dust myself down, and just crack on with it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's in any sport, there's going to be losses, and that's the main fight is to get over that and then go back and do it better. In the ring walk, you previously said that you felt that you were somewhere else, that you were vacant. Do you know what was going on then? And like, was that before, because you had the year out, you think?
I feel like I tried to make, because I had two fights behind closed doors. And I feel obviously there's no audience, so I probably, and then coming back into in front of the home crowd and how crazy it were in there that night, and the the atmosphere were electric, really. And I was just thinking to myself, keep yourself calm, don't let yourself get distracted by the fans and stuff. And I feel like I tried to keep myself too calm, and I just remember a lot of people said that I didn't look myself during the ring walk, and I felt pretty fine, to be fair, but it wasn't until I were in the ring and we had David obviously making his announcements, and I can remember just thinking I felt so vacant, like I felt that obviously there with my body, but my mind was just elsewhere and I don't know where it was, and I just thought I need to wake up because I'm in a tough fight in a minute, and I just never got settled into the fight.
Mm. Do you remember the fight, like emotionally? Do you remember how you felt during it?
Yeah, probably a mixture of all emotions, really. Alyssa is someone who, like a character, is something I've not really experienced before. Like, there's things that I'd like to say it don't bother me, but clearly it probably did at some point. But like the weigh-in when she's getting in your face and standing in front of me, and then like during the fight she's talking to me and swearing and stuff. It's like it would just, I feel like I would too. I feel like I need to get a bit of a nasty streak or a bit more mean, because yeah, I kind of just let her get in my head a little bit, I'd say, and that were her tactics, and we've seen on interviews after that's what she wanted to do, and I guess it worked, so props to her for that. But do you know what? Sometimes you have to learn the hard way, and I've definitely learned the hard way with this. And now, if I ever experience that again in the ring, I'll know how to deal with it. And
yeah, I think that's it. You only learn when the best way to learn is to go through it and then experience it, and that's it. Will really stick, won't it? And you said after the fight, you're obviously a bit upset. Is there what did you do for the next couple of days? Like, did you just sort of take a rest from everything? How was your mental health?
So as soon as I got back to the changing rooms, I saw, seen the doctor and stuff, and I thought, I need to come off my socials. Like, I can't be seeing anything negative. Because I'm my biggest critic, and I just feel like I've put enough pressure on myself, so I don't need it coming from anywhere else. So I just got back to the changing rooms, let everyone know that I were okay, and then I just came off my socials, and I had a good social media break for a good couple of weeks. But like on the side, when you have a loss like that, it's like, I'd say it's worse than a heartbreak, like for me, because you're that emotionally invested for that many weeks, and basically like boxing, it's your life, and you never think about losing, and especially getting knocked out in front of your home crowd. It was the embarrassment more than anything for me. So I just, like I said, I got home on the Sunday. I hid myself away. I didn't go see family or friends or anything, and just probably cried a bit in bed, and I ate some brownies, feeling sorry for myself. But that's like Sunday evening. I'd already booked the family to go out for a curry, and I was thinking in two minds whether if I could cancel it or, and I just thought I need to bite the bullet, go out there and see everyone, and just kind of get over it. The worst bit's been done now, so. Just go see everyone, let them know I'm fine. I had puffy eyes though, so from all the crying, but It made me realise how good of a support system I have got around me. And sometimes, because you're that focused on the job and on the training and everything, you forget who's there around you and who cares for you. Yeah. So it was just a nice reminder.
Oh, good.
And what has been your recovery process mentally and physically? So after that loss, how did you come back up?
I think I put too much pressure on myself over the last few years, thinking I can't do this, can't do that, can't enjoy a bit of normal life. So when I did have the defeat and came off my socials, I went on holiday with family. I just totally switched off from boxing for a couple of weeks, and I think it did me good. And you kind of realise that there's normal life going on outside the boxing gym. And it did make me realise that maybe I could have been a bit selfish, and I probably could have spent more time with family and friends and stuff. But I don't know, I guess you don't realise until you're in that situation. But now I've made it, I'm making sure that I do have time for family and friends. Mm. Obviously still fully focused on the job that I've got to do, but just not letting normal life pass by too soon, really.
Yeah, that sounds very wise. And I think that when you're in the midst of such an incredible and intense experience, the work you do, it's very ups and downs with your losses and your wins and how much you put into your fighting. It sounds like the most sensible idea to come off of social media. I mean, we all need to do that sometimes, but immediately afterwards. How in the past have you dealt with, or how do you deal with your trolls? Do you engage? Or because obviously these people aren't necessarily fighters at all. They sort of sit back and they have lots of things to say, but no experience to draw from. So how do you deal with that?
So when I first turned over professional, I've always had great support from the local people in the village and surrounding villages, and then when as your profile starts to grow, that's when you start to see the trolls, and you gotta, like, for me, I used to take it really personal, and I think, what's the problem? And I could have probably, there's times when I could have probably spent all day arguing with someone, but I won't. Not that I did argue, but I wanted so. But now, like whenever I read anything negative or someone just trying to get me to buy to the comment, it's just over the top of my head, and you just got to remember what they're just trying to get a reaction, and you just got to focus on you, and you can spend too much energy on them, and when you could be using that energy elsewhere. But yeah, it's just for me now, everything's over the top of head, and if I get anything that's commented on my socials that's like out of order, I don't want anyone else to see, like younger generation and stuff, it just gets deleted and blocked, and just that's probably the easiest way to deal with online trolls, really.
And talking about social media, do you follow your opponent's social media, and how do you control that before the fight?
So yeah, you can't, like, when I turned over pro, I see like all the top elite fighters in these weight divisions that are close to me. So me being young then, I was just following them all as a fan. And not realizing one day I'm gonna fight him a lot sooner than I thought. And but what I do when I know who I'm fighting, I just literally click the mute button, so I can't see stories and posts. I leave Andrew to do the stalking for me, and he comes in and tells me if he's found anything out or what he's seen and stuff. But yeah, I just switch off from what they're doing and fully focus on myself.
Mm. That's really helpful to have someone do that for you, so you know what you need to know, but you're like, yeah, you filter.
Yeah.
Can we talk a bit about female physiology and like how you, as a woman, how you deal with your menstrual cycle in your training, and how do you deal with it leading up to a fight when you can't really take a day off?
So it's something that I've only just, well, past couple, when I started working with Lee, who was my nutritionist, it was adamant for me to monitor and track my cycle, just so we knew if one week I were holding my weight. And then my strength coach, Danny, it can, there's like time, there's phases of your menstrual cycle where you can have, where you're probably your strongest and you feel your best, and then the following week, you're nowhere near your best. And so like that's for me, for Danny, it was mainly to be able to do a deload week, or like a week where we're really pushing for PBs and stuff like that. And yeah, and just on the weight side as well, just knowing, understanding why my weight's not dropped and not to let myself get too stressed out. And but for one thing I did see from making the super featherweight weight at 9'4" is I did lose my menstrual cycle. So so for example, for my last time I made 9'4", I ended up being 40 days late from my menstrual cycle. And like there's a lot of side effects to that. Obviously estrogen levels drop and it messes with your hormones, and like for us women, as bones become brittle and you're more prone to injury and stuff like that. And I always think, is that the reason why I broke my hand in the Founders fight? Because it's just the weight was too low. But then I also feel like over the years, if I keep trying to make this weight and boiling my body down and missing out on missing my menstrual cycles, is it going to have a long-term effect when I finish with boxing? And I just feel like your health's more important, and I just didn't want to make that weight ever again.
Is that so? Now you're not going to go back down. Your plan is to stick to where you are now.
Yeah, stick a lightweight now, and probably over the years I'll end up moving up numerous weight categories. That's what I believe. I'll just grow into the weights, and I know there's going to be a time come where I'll outgrow this weight, but hopefully that's not anytime soon.
I think that's very...
This is actually really healthy.
Yeah, it's really healthy. I think so often athletes, women, female fighters and female athletes, you are one weight, and then especially in a fighting sport where it's a weight, you know, your weight is very important. You stick at a weight because that's your weight. And then, but we naturally, women, you do naturally get heavier, and there needs to be an allowance for that. And I think it's amazing that you're embracing that, because it is the healthy thing to do. And it is, you know, for your body.
Yeah, and another thing for me, when I'm speaking to like the young amateurs in the club, there's one dad who... He refuses to make his daughter cut weight, and he understands that she's growing. And I think it's vital at such a young age, while your body is growing, to not be trying to make a certain weight, because like I said, in the long run, it is going to have some sort of effect on your health. And mm-hmm. you've got to let your body grow.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's great that you understand it and you advocate about it. We have heard you talking about the importance of sparring with women. Could you speak a little bit more about that and tell us why it is essential to do so, to spar with women, and how are women sparring partners different from smaller men?
So at the minute I do a mixture of all, really. More technical work with the boys. But yeah, sparring with the women, I think it's the closest you're gonna get to a fight, and it's realistic. So like for the Jonas fight, I only had Jason because it was middle of the pandemic, and Jason was the only southpaw we could get. So I feel like he's in the spars, he's having to hold back. He couldn't work to his full potential and probably not push me as much, really. Whereas when you're getting in with a woman, you wanna try and stand your ground a bit and make a point and show them that you're there, that you mean business. Like I we had some outside sparring coming up this morning, and you get stuck in, and that, like I said, it's closest that you're going to get to a fight. And there's obviously your friends, you pile them up after the spar, but like during and before, you're fully focused on the spar, really, because you know that they're coming to for a fight as well. So
yeah,
thank you.
And is it easy to find female sparring partners of your level in the UK at the moment?
To be fair, I've been having some good spars. A lot. We've been sparring with Anna Robinson. She's on the GB team. Currently, this morning I was sparring with Nina Hughes. She had a great amount of amateur fights, but she's only had, I believe it's two professional fights, maybe one. Obviously she's new to the pro game, but she's very experienced in the amateurs. And for me, I feel like the girls that have been around the GB team and like the podium squad and stuff, I feel like they're the ones who can give me the best spars, really. Mm. Like Raven Chapman, we use Raven a lot from previous camps, but we kind of drifted away from Raven a little bit just because we've got to know each other's style too much, and Andrew kind of wants me to not know what I'm expecting and just adapt right there and then in the spa.
I think that's very difficult as a woman. I mean, and in jiu-jitsu, you know, there's, you know, from my experience, you know, you've got two or three women who you regularly train with, and then you just know exactly what they're going to do. And then whenever you fight them, it's great. But you get, you know, the teacher often pairs you with the girls. You're like, this is wonderful. But we know, I know you're going to die for this particular submission straight away. And I know that you're going to want to play this. So it does take away that element of like adaptation that as a fighter, especially, you know, you're fighting someone who've never fought before on a card. It really takes away from that because you're like, you lose that sense of adaptation.
Yeah, see, what made us realise that, I feel like Andrew's always said he wanted to keep me away from sparring partners who could be potential fights down the line in the future. So we kind of, and just silly stuff like only having outside sparring coming to us. So like I'm in my own gym and I'm in my comfort zone, whereas this camp, we've gone out and I've gone to their gyms, I'm out of my comfort zone and I forgot what I was saying now. That's my mind's gone. But yeah, just getting me out of the comfort zone and learning how to adapt there and then. Oh yeah, that's what I was saying. When I was finalist, I can remember just not knowing how to deal with your style, just because I've never experienced that. And it made us realise we've got a lot of work to do outside of the gym. Like we're gonna get over for the Kate Taylor fight, and then hoping to get some sparring out there with the American girls, because their style's like completely different to us English and like European fighters. So I think that'd be a great experience, and just trying to get on the road a bit and gain that experience, because it's something I lack as a fighter. I only had an handful of amateur fights and an handful of pro fights before my profile was straight up there. So I feel like the only way I'm going to gain that experience is through plenty of sparring and plenty of rounds with different style of fighters.
How do you see the UK and European and the American styles differ?
So I feel like the UK and like European, we're quite upright, high guards, bouncy on his feet, in and out. Whereas like the American, they seem a lot more relaxed. Like if you watch Clarissa Shields, she just stands centre of the ring, just relaxed, even with hands down. I remember Alicia just having this flicky jab, and I didn't know how to deal with that. And it's just stuff that if I had the sparring and the experience, I probably would have been able to deal with it. But it's just something I lacked experiencing.
Mm-hmm. And how have you seen women's boxing change and grow during your career?
Just seeing the amount of attention it's getting. Obviously, we've got the great fight with Katie and Serrano coming up. Like that's amazing. And just headlining at Madison Square Garden, and the fight purses that like they're both going to receive. And I hope after the fight or how many fights they have, they sit down together and have a drink and really sit back and see what they've done for like not just female boxing but like female combat sports in general. And on the boxing side, I feel like Frank Warren's just signed Maven. There's a lot more female signings and there's a lot more cards that we've seen with female fights on, and they're good fights, so I feel like just more of that is going to keep boosting the profile and keep the attention there, really.
Yeah. It is so exciting that we were talking to Mark before about how it's sort of developed and grown so much. It does seem to be like the level up for women's boxing. And you said that you wanted to be bringing more equality to the sporting community. Can you tell us a little bit about how you're doing that?
Why do you want to ask me a question?
Can you hear us?
In like what sense? I can't remember saying that.
Oh no, it was in your bio, it was about how you, that was something that you're really interested in doing. I mean, you're naturally doing that by being a woman in the sport. You're naturally being a role model for younger people coming up.
Yeah. I don't even know how to answer this question. Yeah, so I'll give you an example. Yesterday I was training, and the amateur girls were in, so I just jumped in the ring with them. I gave them probably 10 minutes of my time, and I know for them that would mean a lot, and for them to, like, they're seeing me on TV and seeing me as this role model, and I just want to show, like, being able to be in the gym with them firsthand and just share a little bit of my knowledge and just stuff like that. Yeah, I don't know how else to answer that. I feel like my brain's gone.
That's okay.
I'm still asleep.
Don't worry.
I got punched a bit too hard in sparring.
Terry, have you thought about what you want to do after your boxing career? Like, have you got a plan for the future, for after your career in boxing? Would you want to be go on. Sorry.
Yeah, so one definite thing that's away from boxing is definitely travelling. That's a dream of mine. I won't mind getting a little van and doing it up and travelling Europe and stuff like that. But yeah, there's definitely, for me, before I started boxing, I went to university and I studied sports coaching. I really enjoy like all sports and I've always been sporty. So I enjoy the teaching side as well. I've done a lot of like group classes, I've gone into schools, I've done teaching, and you just really enjoyed it, and just passing on that knowledge and a little bit of information. So that is probably definitely something I'd look into once retired, is going out there and just trying to help others achieve their goals, really, no matter how big or small.
I think we're coming to the end of our questions. Marina, do you want to ask anything else?
Yeah. So our final question that we ask everybody, and you can answer it as specific or broadly as you want, is this is not just about your boxing career, right? It's about your life as well. So what are you fighting for, Terry Harper?
Probably should have studied this question before. Do you know what I think it is? The fact I've got such a young sister, she's 4 years old now, and I feel like I want her to grow up and realise she can have dreams, and she can. I just want her to see that no matter what you want out of life, if you put in the time, the effort, the dedication, if you dedicate yourself to something, you'll get there. And no matter what setbacks come. No matter what people on the outside think, it's just doing what makes you happy, I think.
That's lovely.
That's fantastic.
I think we can all take
4 years
from
old.
That.
4 years old, yeah. She's a little terror, though. I've taken a trampoline in later, so I've got my hands full later.
Does she like boxing? Wow. Has she ever shown an interest? I've tried.
I brought her into gym and stuff. She doesn't enjoy watching me fight, but she's into her makeup. 4 years old and she's already putting makeup on, and I just like, no, she's going to be a little sassy queen when she grows up.
Or she'll get it out of her system, and then sort of like come the teenage angst, she'll be like, "Argh!"
Yeah, hopefully. I get her into sport.
Yeah, just sort of, oh, you feel you want to hit something? Come with me. Oh, thank you so much, Terry, for your time.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thank you. Busy. It's been nice to speak to you and see you again.
Yeah, it's been lovely.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Women Who Fight podcast, and credit to Will Grant for being our songwriter and sound editor. Please subscribe and share and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at womenwhofight.co.uk, and check out our website for more content.